afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, May 7th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you.
Well, glad to hear that. So am I. We've had some weird weather. We have weather that's kind of bipolar today. It's sunshine, rain, sleet, wet snow. I mean, it's just everything here in the hills of West Virginia.
Well, it's a little chilly here on the eastern shore of Maryland, and it's getting a little cloudy, and I think you're sending us some of that rain for tomorrow. But it was a shiny day and warm day for gold. We had another great day for gold today, up $17 at $1,833 in the New York spot price aftermarket. We had a high of $1,844 for the day. So another $10. So pretty nice. Silver was up 15 cents at $27.54. Platinum holding at $1,258. Palladium was down 20, $2,986. And we had a little weakness on the dollar, down 0.70 at 90.20. Crude oil was up 4 pennies at 64.75. And the markets today, I haven't had a chance to follow them, but I'm sure they were strong. Absolutely. It doesn't seem to matter that the big job report that everybody was waiting for was not a very good one. The Dow was up 228 at 34,777. The S&P was up 30 at 4,232. The NASDAQ was up 119 at 13,752. And the bond 10-year yield, 1.57. No really big changes there. And Europe did. Europe was all positive, of course, after the European Central Bank came out and said, hey, it's a go. Mixed bag of ups and downs through the Asian markets. But, you know, it is just really, it just doesn't seem to matter. There was a big April's expected hiring boom, kind of went bust. And it was a big letdown in April, non-farm payrolls increasing by much less than expected, 266,000. The unemployment rate rose to 6.1%. And the Dow Jones had estimated had been for 1 million new jobs and an unemployment rate of 5.8. That's huge, and it doesn't seem to matter. Everyone has been expecting these higher numbers with the economy so supposedly roaring back to life. March's, and then there was even more bad news. So I think what will happen, this will come back next week. I think that's when you'll see these numbers go through. March numbers, who originally they estimated at 916,000, it was revised down to 770,000, and so it's you know, not good, not good. But there was no; it was just a very mild reaction to the markets, and so it's. Let's see if we can see where local government education added 31,000 jobs as kids. Return to school. Social assistance increased by 23,000. Professional and business services saw a steep 111,000 decline in temporary help. Yeah, you know, this temporary help, everybody wants to work at home. But you know what? They're not going to allow temporary help to work at home. Support services lost 15,000 positions. Manufacturing lost 18,000 positions. So it's a lot of positions that have been lost. And again, the unemployment number creeped up to 6.1. So we'll just have to see if it, you know, follows through. We have copper is jumping to a record, hit a fresh all-time high. optimism of a global rebound. And so we talked a little bit about that yesterday. Is there anything in there about Butch that you wanted to talk about as I'm hitting on some of these headlines?
I was just listening about the stock market is absolutely immune to anything. No matter what the news is good or news is terrible, it still goes up. But you remember probably when if the American economy faltered, the whole world's markets went down. You remember that? Mm-hmm.
I do.
I mean, it used to be everything was kind of hinged to the American economy. Today, even our own markets aren't bothered by it. So, you know, that may show some of the loss of influence in our country across the world and here even.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's really not a good sign, I don't think. Obviously, the markets are not building on our economy. They're building in what? Make-believe? And what are they building on? What's their foundation? If it's not the economy of this country, what is it? Those are questions I just wonder, because it used to be then, you know, if what's the old saying from if America sneezed or whatever, the world caught a cold. What's happened? Our own markets now don't even pay attention to our own economy.
Well, we're not the leaders anymore.
That's true.
So, you know, so I'm
That's
not quite
true.
Sure. And it doesn't. But the thing of it is, you know, a lot of these other countries, they're preparing. We've talked about countries buying more gold. We talked about countries that are dumping the dollar, and yeah, they don't have to dump all of it overnight, but it's been a gradual decline in the purchasing of our debt, of our dollar. So, you know, this has been slow work. So, yeah, we still have the reserve currency, but we're slowly, other countries are beginning to make other decisions. There's no control in keeping it anymore. Saudis don't really care anymore. You know, they have their own weaponry. They have their own military anymore. They have, you know, but that's still part of the agreement. They're ready to go out and make deals with other people, especially with the younger king and so forth. So, yeah, it's this is a whole new different world and ball game. And, it doesn't happen here.
Well, major nations, even like Russia, is getting away from the dollar, and they're going more towards the euro or the yuan for the trading currency. So that means the dollar is losing its influence everywhere.
Absolutely, and you know we've been talking about the chip shortage, and you know out of CNBC, they're talking about it starting to have real world consequences, a major. Real world concentrate. And you're going to have China. They're doing this with other things, with other metals and so forth, with chickens. We were reading chickens. The price on chicken breasts.
We're going to cover both those in a minute. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
but China's gobbling them up.
There's a shortage. There's a shortage of chickens.
Yeah. Yeah. And China is gobbling, no pun intended. China is gobbling, those are turkeys. China is gobbling up these chips. Because they want to try to ride out the storm. So that's going to make it even harder for other countries to get other countries or companies to get these chips. So China can buy up everything. That's what they do. And that's what we should be doing, but we're too busy wanting to spend $4 trillion to repair a bridge.
Yeah,
so,
it is amazing. America, I hate to say this, but it's on a decline in every way possible. Morals go first, and then the rest of the situation follows, including finances. So we're seeing it happen. Whether people want to believe it or not, it makes no difference. We're on a decline. We're a declining nation in world influence, economic strength in our own country. We are on the decline. We are turning totally into a socialist country and a communist country, really, I guess you could say. And a lot of people want it that way. I think Biden certainly does, and some other leaders certainly want us to turn into that. But sad to say that a lot of American people have gotten so accustomed to the government money coming in that they don't want to do away with it. They want to increase it. And that is just pure socialism, communism. That's all it is. But once people get used to the idea of freebies, it's hard to wean them off of, Mildy.
You know, I saw a brief article on taxes where, and I don't have the exact percentages because I don't have the numbers right in front of me, so this is coming from my memory. But, I mean, it was like 40-some percent of the population thinks we pay too much taxes. The other 40-some percent think that the tax rates are just right. And then there was a small percentage where we don't pay enough. And I'm thinking, well, that's just about right. You know, for those who think that we're paying too much taxes, these are the people who are paying the taxes.
Of course.
The other half are those who, you know, and no disrespect to any of them, but those are the ones who aren't paying tax.
I agree.
So, you know, yeah, if I wasn't paying tax, you know, or, you know, if I was getting a, you know, isn't half of the population, Butch, getting some sort of a government check?
Actually, more than half of them.
Well, I was
more than half.
I was trying to be.
Well, government check or benefits of some kind, way more than half of them.
Yeah. So their obligation for taxes is minimal. So yeah, taxes don't bother us. So again, it's hard to believe even those folks can't look at those who do pay taxes and say, yeah, they're paying too much taxes. But that's where the programs come from. I don't know.
They can't bite the hand that feeds them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, go along the same direction. Article here out of CNS News: government grew with 48,000 employees in April. And this is 1 month now. In one month, the government grew with 48,000 employees. Now listen to these numbers. I want to run them by you and see what you think. From March to April, the United States, the federal employees grew up to 21,591,000 federal workers. Local governments increased to 13,717,000. State governments increased to 4,977,000. Now, I totaled that up as 40,285,000 jobs that are government generated. All right, and I assume that includes school teachers and all that too, I'd imagine. There are 330 million roughly population in this country. That's what they say. And of course, a lot of them are illegal, but we'll say 330. So you can figure about a little over half of those or more are children. So it'll be 170 million children or more children. And being conservative here, about 50 million elderly. That leaves about 110 million of people to work. Out of that, 40 million or thereabouts are working for some type of government. That leaves about another 50, 60 million. Well, actually more and less than that. Another 50, maybe 60 to support the rest of them, because government workers are paid from our tax dollars. Right. Do you see that? Do you see how this can't go on like this forever, Melody?
I do.
And that's not counting the people that are getting benefits and, you know, food stamps and HUD and all that. Those are the ones that are working directly for the governments, all local, state, and federal. And that's down to 110 million people working, period. And I said, out of that, 40 million are working for the government. So it can't go on like that forever. The balance is almost equal worker per worker, not counting all the benefits are drawn out of these of taxes. Government employees pay taxes also, but they don't pay enough tax to pay their own salaries, so it comes out of our money. This cannot go on like this forever. Something has to give. And those are numbers I figured up, and I'm certainly not an economic expert, but I can count a little bit. It's uneven, Melody. It can go on. We cannot have equal amounts working for private and government entities with all the benefits added on top of those retired and all the other things. So we can't have that. The load cannot be carried by the people. And it isn't. That's why we're in debt. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. I mean, it's... Yeah, we all know this can't go on, but you know, it's, you know, I talk to a lot of folks and it's almost like there's almost something like in the air. I mean, everybody sees how it's like it can't go on.
No, it can't.
I mean, the numbers just, and I think also it's because of the leadership that we have also.
Well, it is.
We know that the leadership can't handle anything. We know that the leadership isn't in control. I mean, even before, at least to some degree, you felt that they were in control, whether you liked them or not. You know, you disagreed about their policies, their politics, their you know, things that they approve of and so forth. But yet there was a sense of control. Today, with this administration, it's like there's no one.
Well, this
it's scary.
This administration,
it is really scary.
It is. It is scary.
There's no strength.
Worst one so far. But yeah. We've seen all of our life where the leaders were not really in control of anything as far as actually being controlled, because all they didn't want to do is expend and expand.
Maybe control was the wrong word. There was always a sense of
stability.
A sense of
kind of trust.
A strength.
Yes. Yes.
And now there's just something that's missing. And if we know it, the rest of the world knows it. And that's the frightening part.
That's
where
we
are. We know where this is going.
That's where we are. I mean, yeah. And the world knows we're weak. The world knows mm-hmm. we're getting weaker in about every way possible.
Yep.
I mean, the military divided over a lot of things. The military divided over even homosexuality. It's divided over that. It's divided over men that won't take vaccines. They're talking about kicking out of the military. A lot of the military guys in the military retired because they knew they were heading for trouble. So we don't have a much strength in anything any longer, militarily or financially, or certainly not morally. We don't have a lot to stand on any longer. Our nation is deteriorating before our very eyes. And I don't know what we can do except try to warn people. I don't see it changing. I don't see it changing in the political side for sure. No matter who gets in, it seems like they all want to play the same game. You know that to be true.
I do.
So time will tell what the future is going to hold for this country, but I'm not looking for rosy things to happen in the very near future. I truly am not. I really am not. And I think we're going to see consequences really come to fruition in the very near future. Very near future.
And in the very near future, we're going to break. How about that? We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, and so many things to talk about. And I know you have a ton of topics, Butch.
Yes, I got a few of them here. A few.
Why don't you pick one?
All right. Well, I'm going to start with Peter Schiff. I think everybody knows who Peter Schiff is, listening to this broadcast. The Fed can't tell the truth about inflation. And this is a very, I read the article, I didn't print it all off, obviously it's too long, but a very well put article, very well stated. It said, we've been talking about inflation for months, but now the mainstream is starting to pay attention to rising prices. In corporate boardrooms, board members are talking about passing along their increased costs to their customers. Consumers are trying to tighten budgets, but the Federal Reserve keeps telling us there isn't a problem. Inflation, so we're told, is transitory. And I got to say this, Melody, in all my life, and I've been around a few years, I've never seen inflation go away, ever. I've seen it go way up, and I've seen it come back down when we had real money a little bit. But it's never went away. Since 1971, inflation has been a way of life, has it not?
It has.
And they said, in his podcast, Peter Schiff said the central bankers at the Fed have to tell us, they have to tell us that because they can't be honest about inflation. The ISM Services Index prices paid component reveals just how much prices are going up. The ISM's price gauge rose to a 13-year peak and came in twice as high as the last month before the pandemic began. The central bankers at Federal Reserve continue to insist the price increases are transitory. Peter called their position absurd. To simply dismiss what is happening as being transitory strains any credibility. It makes no sense for the Fed to be taking this position unless you actually understand why they're doing it. When it comes to inflation, the Fed basically has two options. It can admit it. It commits a problem and takes steps to address it. Or it can pretend there isn't a problem so it doesn't have to do anything about it. If the central bankers admit inflation is a problem, it puts the onus on them to take action. That would mean tightening monetary policy, hiking rates, ending quantitative easing, and shrinking the balance sheet. And therein lies the problem. They can't simultaneously prop up the economy and then take the props away. The economy is being propped up on pillars of inflation. Now, folks, listen, that's very well put. The economy is being propped up on pillars of inflation. That's the only thing that we've got going is the inflation. So the Fed has to continue to provide inflation. It can't take it away. That is absolutely right. You've been saying that for years, and I have too. It's inflated. It's going to blow up. It's going to burst. It's going to make a mess. But the Fed can't stop. They can't stop. That's all that keeps this economy moving, folks, is debt, 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 and more debt. That's all that makes it work. Nothing else will prop it up. They can't pay the debt. They can't cut back. It's too late for that. So they're going to keep on saying there is no inflation. While you and I go to the store and know there's inflation, but the Fed has to keep on going in debt to keep this thing flying. Is that not real, Melody?
Well, absolutely. Government needs debt. They want debt. They create debt, and they need it in order to service the debt. They need it. It's that simple.
Inflation because inflation makes higher taxes too, doesn't it?
They need the inflation, absolutely.
So, folks, please don't shrug it off and think, well, inflation, not as bad as to say this. Anyone who shops for about anything anymore, I don't care if it's gasoline or two before or a loaf of bread, sees inflation. And it has to be that way. If government quits printing money, everything will collapse. It's going to collapse anyway. And it's going to be a huge, huge, great is going to be the fall thereof. Well, if they stop, it's going to happen overnight. So that's where we are. You go ahead, Melanie, finish up what you want to say on that.
No, I mean, you know, it's just another example, another well-put example of, you know, inflation, and, you know, we need it. We're going to have it. It's not going to go away. It all starts back with our monetary policy. That's where all inflation starts. Can't go away until you fix the monetary policy. And they haven't fixed it, so it'll continue to just grow and grow and grow. And you can whitewash it. You can, you know, do everything you can. Like we exported our inflation to the China and all the other Asian countries that could produce the products at a very low cost. We could buy it back at a low cost. It kept our inflation down. But the inflation was really there. We just exported it temporarily. And
that's all we can do.
That's all we can do. So, you know, you bring back manufacturing to this country, yeah, prices are going to skyrocket. You won't be able to, if you made those TVs here in this country, triple the price. Refrigerators, yeah, triple the price. And that's just normal inflation. So.
When you look back over a lot of years, even before I knew what was happening financially, I wasn't always in on this, especially as a youngster. You look back, you can see now how this, the pieces of the puzzle fit together, Mel, Dave, how they started doing this. And all this can't be done through stupidity. Some of these moves had to be planned in advance. You know that. You know, the TPP and all the other trade agreements, taking the gold up behind the dollar and up behind the silver out in 1864. They knew what was going to happen. The ones who planned this knew what was going to happen. Shipping everything, all of our production jobs overseas or down south. They knew this would come to a head one day. So it wasn't all done through ignorance or stupidity. No. It was planned, and it's working very well.
It wasn't done by ignorance and stupidity by them. It was done by ignorance of the American people and the rest of the citizens of the world. Because we just, and I'll guarantee you, they probably never even thought we'd get this far.
My people,
you know, they find resistance. They never found any resistance along the way.
No, they didn't. Mm-mm. No, they didn't. As my dad said one time, we trusted the government. He knew better at the time, but that was like, you know, the house was burned. Well, I put the fire out. Sorry, burned out still. This is where we are. And now we're seeing another example here. Steel prices have tripled. Now Bank of America is sounding the alarm. It says CNN, a bubble could be brewing in steel stocks. The pandemic brought the American steel industry to its knees last spring. By the way, what there is of it, there's not that much left in America any longer. Forcing manufacturers to shut down production as they struggle to survive the imploding economy. But as the recovery got underway, mills were slow to resume production that created a massive steel shortage. Now, the reopening of the economy is driving steel booms so strong that some are convinced it will end in tears. This is going to be short-lived. It's very appropriate to call this a bubble, Bank of America analyst Tim Tanis told CNN Business, using the B word that equity analysts from major banks typically avoid. After bottoming out at $460 last year, U.S. benchmark hot rolled coil steel prices are now sitting at around $1,500 a ton, a record high that is nearly triple the 20-year average. Triple, Melody. Triple the 20-year average.
Wow.
That's 300% up. Think about that. Mm-hmm. My goodness. And what do we use steel in? Well, just about any kind of construction at all. I mean, we do. Like it or love, but it's there. It goes everything from a screw to a railroad track. It's all there, right?
That's right.
So, folks, I mean, this is going to impact you. Of course, this impacts everything from the building. Just like lumber is, this will affect the building materials in the stores. If you use hardware in the stores, and everybody does build in a house, whatever, it's going to make a big difference.
Yes.
Another shortage, and it was man-made. I know we can say what we want to say, COVID. No, it was man-made. This was planned. If it only happened in America, we could say, well, this is just something that happened in America. But this happened worldwide. Worldwide, this was done. And it's still being done in London or England. They're talking about shutting down the country again. And Canada is still under lockdown, basically. I just talked to one of our folks in Canada yesterday, Melody. They can still leave the country. If they come back in, they have to be vaccinated, or they have to prove that they're for 14-day quarantine, and an approved quarantine center they have to pay for to stay there before they can go home. So yeah, she said we can leave the country, but we just can't get back in.
Well,
isn't that something? I mean, we don't hear that in the mainstream news, do we?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
And he is a reclaiming job, a factory, a reclaiming business, where he goes out and he reclaims all kinds of scrap metal and different things. And he looks retired now. His son runs it now, I think, for him. But they sent some ships out into one of the provinces out in the Atlantic to get some scraps. And those men are not allowed to go into town or other people. They have to order food into the motels where they're staying. They got to be checked every couple of days for COVID. This is going on in Canada, folks, right now. And the guy was a little bit perturbed. He said the workers don't like the idea. They can't even go in town and get something to eat. They have to order food in. That's pretty much a police state. Would you agree?
I would think so. Yes, I would agree.
And this is where we are, folks. Go ahead.
Yeah, we are. I just want to go back and touch on that. I got an email in, and I take it from his comment and that he's listened to the program, and we were talking about taxes. I just want to go step back. And what he says, how much would you be willing to spend to help a poor person? More than what you pay in taxes? And I'm not quite sure. I think he's saying that we don't want to help poor people. We shouldn't complain about our taxes because we're helping poor people, Butch.
No. That is not even the point. Yes, I agree. Some people do need the help, but
absolutely.
What we've done, we have created a socialist society where they make a career of bilking the taxpayers. And as I preached a sermon one time in church years ago, that you can steal. The Bible says thou shalt not steal. Some people do it with a gun. Some people do it with an ink pen. But it's still stealing. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's still stealing. And beyond that point, no one should be forced to spend money that he's earned on anything he doesn't believe in.
And this
that is not how it's supposed to work. No one who earns their money should be forced to buy anything or pay for anything that they do not believe in.
And then let's look on this other hand. You know, what about all these other programs that the stimulus to businesses, to corporations, to the trillions of billions and trillions of dollars? That doesn't go to anybody to help people.
That's
you know,
true.
And then let's really look at the big problem. Why are people poor? My grandparents were poor. My parents were poor. We never thought we were poor. We had everything we needed. So they manipulated people that we can all have everything that we want, and they took the jobs from. I mean, it's, Butch, it's just so much of everything that's so wrong that's happened.
Yes, it is.
And it's, maybe it's just not one thing. It's just an accumulation of many.
Well, when you force productive people to pay for people that can't work, that's one thing. But when they could work and won't work, and they're still paid for it, that's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
So now the gentleman, if he doesn't understand what we're saying, if he believes that at all. Besides, again, I will say, if I earned it, it should be my money to do with as I please. Nobody else. No one has the power. No one has that lawful authority to steal from me to give somebody else. If that were true, then I could start my own stealing rampage, go to neighbors that are, I got money, take with a pointy gun, take down and give somebody's hungry. That's what the government's doing. If you don't pay it, they'll put you in jail, they'll come and shoot you. The same thing, only a bigger scale.
Yep.
That is totally immoral. That is stealing. Thou shalt not steal is a commandment. Okay, I'll be quiet on that. Anything else you want to add?
No, not at all. But and it's not. And I agree. We're not insensitive to the troubles of folks.
No, no.
Been there. But
I am insensitive to those who are too lazy to work, though. I am very yes. insensitive to them.
Yes.
I almost said you don't work, you don't eat. And here's another thing you mentioned. Go. Is there a chicken shortage? I never would have thought I'd read this. COVID, chicken sandwich war, and chicken wing demand are impacting restaurants. Has the chicken flow in the coop? The nation's chicken wars and cravings for comfort food during the pandemic have made poultry so scarce and expensive that some restaurants are limiting on or running out of chicken sandwiches, wings, and tenders. Others are considering changes to the menus and promotions. Heavy winter storms took a large bite out of supply. While some restaurants have not been able to meet demand, it's unclear if and how the low supplies will affect consumers in the grocery store. Well, if there's none there, folks, and it's very scarce, prices are going to go up. That's how it's going to affect us. Prices will go up. Duh. I mean, that's all there is to it. So we're running out of chicken, running out of wood, running out of steel, running out of chips. We're running out of everything. Oh, yes, we have no bananas. But anyway.
Well, yes, we have no bananas.
You remember that too, don't you?
I do.
And after the break, we'll read where grocers, restaurants, to suppliers, hurry up and make more. And what's going on with that? Because there is a shortage. Like to lump it. I mean, there's a shortage. Now, I don't think you'll be here next segment, so I guess I'll do this by myself, but I'll share it with the folks.
All righty. Well, I appreciate it. Yes, I'm going to be stepping out a little early today. It's been a long week. It's been a trying week. And so I want to thank you, Butch, for just
you're welcome
sitting in for this last segment of the program. So you mentioned that a little early. We still have 30 seconds.
Got 30 seconds left. Well, I just thought I'd give you a heads up so you can get your shoes on and get ready to get out the door.
All righty.
Okay, well, you have a great weekend, too, by the way.
Alrighty, you too, and I appreciate it. And again, folks, be safe out there and give us a call at 800-375-4188. Take it away, Butch.
All right, folks, again, 800-375-4188. Prepare yourself, please. This is not going to get any better in the near future. Back at the break, don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks. I am back. Melody snuck out on us. She went to the rest of the weekend off, and good for her. I don't blame her. That lady has earned an hour, or 20 minutes off, actually. She's earned it. She truly has. And folks, I'll say this about Melody again. You've heard it many times. I've dealt with her now for a lot of years, both buying and selling. And she has been top-notch. Above reproach on every deal I've ever done with this lady. You call her at 800-375-4188. Do that, please. Let me back you some news. Now, by the way, if somebody wants to call and say something, you can. If you like to call, I'll take phone calls, 844-769-2944. But I said, grocers, restaurants, to suppliers, hurry up, make more. Walmart, Cisco, and others implement penalties. Now, listen to this. Implement penalties for late or incomplete orders, adding pressure to food makers dealing with labor and ingredient shortages. Friction between food retailers and the suppliers is adding cost across the food chain. Again, the consumer always ends up being in the middle. It's like children in divorce. They're always in the middle. So they're fighting over getting the food supply in. Guess who's going to pay it? You and I are. Big buyers, including Walmart, Cisco, are fining suppliers, like money-wise, suppliers over infractions like late and complete orders. Retailers excused such penalties for months during the pandemic when surging demand led to widespread shortages. Meanwhile, many food makers and distributors say labor shortages, supply constraints, and high freight costs are making it difficult to deliver complete, timely orders for goods from cake mix to ramen noodles. Similar tensions are mounting throughout the U.S. economy as industries contend with shortages of supplies and complications of reopening businesses in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. Prices for many foods, consumer products, and other goods are rising as a result. The supply chain challenges are still here, said Hank Hartong, chief executive officer of the Burnwood Partners, which owns Hometown Food Company, the maker of Pillsbury cake mixes and Buttini pasta. He said wheat costs have soared, and shipments for ingredients, including a vitamin C for Sunny D, are running behind. It's just not one thing, it's everything, he says. Again, it comes right back down to where you and I pay difference. Will they catch up one day and prices come back down a little bit? Maybe. I'm not holding breath on that. I've never seen prices retreat a lot on anything, to tell you the truth. I mean, no, not for long. They may balance out at an average in between what was low and high. They may come in somewhere in the middle and stay there. It's like gasoline did. It went from, I remember, 20 cents a gallon up to almost $4 a gallon here in West Virginia, then settled back down in the 280s. So, yeah, it's been up and down, but I think it's just more or less settled in the middle. So, yes, it went up from 20 cents to 280. Figure out the difference on that. Another shortage, I never thought this would be. Wore some flyers for a business the other day who gave me good service, and they were out of certain flowers. Mother's Day flyers may be hard to come by this year due to global pandemic. Now, they blame it all on the pandemic. Mother's Day is this Sunday, and if sending flyers is on your to-do list, finding the perfect blooms may be a challenge. Like some other businesses, COVID is having an impact on the floral industry. With the growers and importers, we know product is tight, and it started with COVID. Crops were pulled, and there were no one to plant the crops, said world-renowned floral artist Deborah De La Flor. De La Flor owns De La Flor Flowers and Gardens on Sterling Road in Cooper City. She said buyers need to be flexible because not every type of flower is available. Arrangements may cost more as well. Excuse me. And there we go again. Arrangements will cost more as well. Is inflation for real, no matter what the reason? Obviously it is. Every time we read something here, we find out it costs more. Obviously, it's inflation, folks. I don't care what causes it, it's still inflation. It hits me in the wallet, it hits you in the wallet. It makes a difference to how we get by from month to month, doesn't it? Now, remember that we talked about Montana the other day, is going to cut off the extra money starting next month with the pandemic deal or the bailout deal, going to cut off the extra unemployment money so that people go back to work. Well, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce urges Biden to end pandemic handouts. Paying people not to work is killing their recovery. Folks, that's the whole idea of socialism. If they don't have to work, most of them will not work. The integrity that people once had that want to earn their own way is almost going in America. Not all the way, but almost. Right on cue, just after Minneapolis Fed Chief Neil Kashkari admitted that expanded unemployment insurance was keeping workers out of the labor market, contributing to Friday's disappointing employment number, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce released a statement calling for ending the $300 weekly supplemental benefit. Executive Vice President and Chief Policy Officer Neil Bradley released the following as a statement saying that while there might have been a time when the benefits were needed, that time is now past. Paying people not to work is damaging what should be a stronger job market and is hurting the overall recovery, he said. The disappointing jobs report makes it clear that paying people not to work is dampening what should be a stronger job market. We need a comprehensive approach to dealing with our workforce issues and the very real threat unfilled positions poses to our economic recovery from the pandemic. One step policymakers should take now is ending the $300 weekly supplemental unemployment benefit. Based on the Chamber's analysis, the $300 benefit results in approximately 1 in 4 recipients taking home more in unemployment than they earned working. 1 in 4, 25%, make more being home. Staying home. That's the way it is. Again, that is a sign, another step of, how do I say this, folks? Government has no lawful business in giving away money for anything because government does not earn money. The Fed can print the money, but they don't earn the money. It's not theirs to give away. Government has no lawful business, constitutionally or biblically, to feed the people and end up taking their property from them in the process. It's called socialism. It is not what should be done. Every time government gets involved in anyone's finances or regulating the running of a business to the point that they do today, they end up costing the consumer more money. This is the way it is. This nation wasn't always that way, but it is now. And on top of the unemployment benefits, the White House is not rolling out another round of payments this year. Another stimulus check this year. You may still not have your third stimulus check the IRS is sending out as part of the American Rescue Plan, but the White House is working ahead and hasn't ruled out a fourth stimulus payment this year. White House Press Secretary Jean Psaki said the Biden administration is looking to Congress for a fourth round of payments. We'll see what members of Congress propose, Psaki said in response to the question about a fourth check. Following March's $1.9 trillion bill, the Biden administration is now working on the next two stimulus proposals. The next two, folks, two stimulus proposals that could send new rounds of money to those struggling through the pandemic. Biden laid out in his speech his two new packages, the American Jobs Plan and American Family Plan, that would focus on creating new jobs, extend the child tax credit through 2025, and give working families more tax breaks and direct payments if approved by Congress. Where does all this money come from? Folks, think about it. Where's the money all come from? They take it from us, of course, but we can't pay it. It's printed out of thin air and given out to people, and inflation eats up even more. Let's take a call from Massachusetts. Talk to David. David, welcome. Come on in.
I have a humorous way, but a serious way of putting it. I always tell people who think, government can fund this, that, and the other thing. I say, we'll just go to the groves of magic money trees along the Potomac to fund it.
There you go.
Maybe we'll
sure.
Sure. Yeah, didn't you know that along next to the cherry blossom, the Japanese, didn't you know that they had the groves of magic money trees?
You know, I wish you'd start growing something bigger than $100 bills. Let's go back to the $1,000 bills again. And they probably will, because $100 won't buy you anything pretty soon. You know that.
Yeah. Well, here's another nickname for taxation. It's often been called legalized extortion.
That's very true. That's very true.
I mean, if you or I or Melanie or anybody else did it, that's how we'd be charged with extortion and with theft, usually grand theft. But when government does it, oh, it's called taxation.
Well, you know, it is still theft, but it's done not lawfully, but legally. There's a difference. You know that.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, whatever, you know, the Creator and His laws say, you know, that's the real law.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thou shalt not steal is a commandment for government also.
Right.
You know, we're seeing this increase every day. It's sad to say, but the people, not everyone, but the people seem like as a whole to like it. If they didn't, there'd be more of an outcry, I would think.
Well, for me, for candidates running for office, usually for local office, if I start talking with them, that's the first thing I lay down with them. I say, all right, you're not my leader. You're not my ruler. I want someone who's a faithful, loyal servant. Now, so I point out to them that if don't promise me, you know, money, you know, for this project and that project, and I say, well, wait a minute. Is this coming out of your own pocket, money you earn while shining shoes or as a paper boy or, you know, what have you? And they say, oh, no, we'll just have taxes. I say, no, don't do that. That's anybody can be generous out of someone else's pocket. You know, that's an insult to me.
It is an insult. Again, it's stealing. And as I said before, it is totally immoral, unlawful and immoral to make somebody pay for something he doesn't believe in when it's his his earned money.
Well, it's even worse if it's something that's an actual evil.
Oh, sure, like abortion, everything. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely. But stealing is evil no matter who does it. And if they steal it from me and I don't want to give it to them, it's morally wrong for them to steal from me. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, that's, you know, all I can think of at the time. Well, one last note. I noticed that people who are particularly pro-life women, they seem to, you know, be very dead set against taking the vaccine. They realize that it's not really a vaccine. It's gene therapy, and they
absolutely
don't trust it, especially when they look at, you know, Bill Gates, the Gates family. They've been with Planned Parenthood for, you know, many years. They say, oh, there's too many humans on this earth, and they're the ones who funded it. So would you trust an injection from somebody like that?
Well, you and I both know what it is. I like to think a lot of people learn what it is. But it is exactly what you said. It's a gene therapy. It's also now been proven that it can even those who are vaccinated can pass this the proteins on somebody else. So this is something that's spread all throughout the community and all throughout the nation. If 130 million get vaccinated, as they say they did, that means everyone they're around could have it also. This is amazing.
Yeah, I think you can thank all these, drugs, you know, the Temple of Pharmakia, you know, those advertising. I think that's already conditioned people to say, oh, just go get the vaccine.
Well, we've done it for years. We have. God help us, we did it. Good call, Dave. Anything else?
No, that's it for now.
Well, thanks for sharing. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to close here with now about the last minute and a half here. This I said months ago was coming. I don't like it. But it's coming. Civil war in this country is almost inevitable. I'm trying to scare you. But people are getting fed up. Elderly patron draws gun after armed Black Lives Matter activists gather outside Louisville restaurant. A senior citizen allegedly waved his firearm at anti-police protesters who interrupted his meal during the Kentucky Derby. An unidentified elderly man refused to let Black Lives Matter rioters prevent him from enjoying a gastronomical experience at the luxurious European restaurant on Barsville Road, 3 miles southeast of downtown Louisville. A video that since went viral on social media appears to show the patron guarding entrance to this establishment and calmly warning BLM activists not to enter the premises. However, protesters refused to disperse, repeatedly moved in the direction of the patron, yelling, "Do not shoot," and "No." The senior citizen can be seen standing his ground and calmly asking the group not to enter the restaurant. When Louisville Metro Police Department officers arrived, they ordered activists to step away from the man brandishing a gun. Mob of protesters were also armed, according to both the restaurant and the police department. During the encounter, both patrons and protesters brandished firearms, police spokesman Alicia Smiley said, according to the New York Post. Folks, both sides had guns. God help us. One day, somebody's going to fire. That could lead to something we don't want to think about. This gentleman looks to me like he's holding a North American Arms 22 Magnum in his hands. It's a little revolver, tiny little thing. It looks like it's what he's carrying. That's what I've had him before. A little 22 Magnum revolver. Maybe North American Arms. So I think it's a pocket gun. I have good for him for carrying it. I think everybody should be armed continually. I am not ashamed of it. But this could lead to something we don't want to think about. And I mean that. I truly mean that. So I just want to say that what we talked about months ago are starting to heat up here now in this country, where people, armed people on both sides, are having confrontations that could lead to something much more serious. And we're about out of time, folks. I'll see you Monday again with Melody Seastrom. Give her a call at 800-375-4188. And go to Discount Gold and Silver. See you later. Bye bye. Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.